Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. If you know we're in the book of Hebrews and we're in 11, we're talking a whole lot about faith again tonight. I want you to have faith in walking into the new year, that the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ that brought you out of 2019 through all of his heartaches and all of his heartbreaks, all of his problems, all of the grief and everything that you brought out of 2019, the Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind you, press forward, okay? And that doesn't mean you're going to forget your loved one. It doesn't mean you're going to forget any of that. But what I'm trying to get you tonight to do, and this message will help you, is just have faith, have faith, have faith. And whenever we say that and we're going forward, and I want you to have faith, and I say try not to bring into 2020 all the hurt and the pain. Use faith as a message to say, hey, I'll get to see mom again. I'll get to see daddy again. I'll get to see my loved one again. And some of it's not just grief. Some of it's heartbreak. And I've been brokenhearted myself. There's some closest friends in my life I thought would never leave me or leave the church or leave this. And they're gone. They're just gone. And you know, so I can't bring them back. I can't bring them back either. And neither is it my chore to go chase down people. People go where they're going to go and they're going to do what they're going to do. But nevertheless, it leaves a hole in your heart. But the Bible says that we can forget those things that are behind and go forward. We need to leave the past in the past and don't let it become a burdening cloud over you in the future. Because if you're always dragging up yesterday's problems and putting them up, you're going to shield yourself in today's sunshine, okay? And don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Bible says sufficient is the evil thereof. It's got its own set of problems. And we'll deal with them when we get there and if we get into the future. If we get to tomorrow, we'll face tomorrow that way. But as it's being said tonight, how many of you stayed up last night and watched the ball drop? I didn't. I'm not raising my hand. So a lot of you stayed up last night to watch the ball drop. You tried. Vicky said, I tried. It's hard on older people. Sorry, Vicky. For those that didn't watch the ball drop, do you know what that means? Do you know what the ball drop means, right? What's it mean? Tammy, what's it mean when the ball drops? You don't have a clue. The Big Apple. New York City. The ball goes down. What happens? It's counting down, right? Okay. It's a new year. Thank you, Grant. Jerry, were you out of the bowl games enough to watch the ball drop? You're still stuck in the ball games, ain't you? I'm sorry. I'm probably interfering with the bowl game right now, ain't I? I'm going to do what Dean says. I'm going to talk real slow so you can understand me. Even as the ball dropped in 2019, last night at midnight, the ball dropped. The title of my message tonight is Don't Drop the Ball. Just don't drop the ball. That's a cliche saying. If I said don't drop the ball, what does that mean, Seth? What?
Don't fumble.
Don't fumble. Don't drop the ball. Try not to make a mistake. Don't miss an opportunity. Don't let a chance to serve Jesus get by you. I preached a message this past Sunday. You may know what I preached on this past Sunday. What was it, Miss Jan? You're the only one that raised your hand. Who said that? Somebody spoke out of turn without raising your hand. Oh. I don't know how you all take the message. When I preach a message, do it while you're young, while you're young, while you're young. Josiah was a young king, and while he was yet young, he sought the Lord. He began to seek the Lord. Gerald and Angie took this thing literally. Gerald said, I heard your preacher Sunday. Better do this while we're young. And I said, Gerald, I hope you prayed about this. That's what he told me. I'm not making this. Did you not say that? He said, yeah, we thought about that while we're young. We better do this. Well, let me tell you, if you're getting ready to do something, do it while you're young. If it's what they're getting ready to do, then you better pray through that while you're young. But anyway, what I'm saying tonight is don't drop the ball. Brother Chris, come on up here. You can't sit back here and worship. Come up here. You just come, get up here. He's already preached and got down here. You didn't bring a Bible? Lord help us. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. We're going to have Brother Chris quote our scriptures tonight. In the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, you said, what are you talking about? dropping the ball, but you're here in the book of faith. There was many, many mentions of people in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 that did not drop the ball. In other words, they did not let down their end of the bargain. They didn't let down their end of grace. They didn't let down their measure of faith. And because they didn't let go, they didn't fail God, they didn't drop the ball, there were great, great things that were wrought at the hands of some of these people that are recorded here in the book of Hebrews. And I'm not going to, time would fail me to preach on every single one of them. You could start over at the beginning. It talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and you can go on down through. But I'm going to pick up our reading tonight, and I would invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of the Word of God in Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll pick up the reading in verse number 24. Hebrews 11 and 24. And we'll pick up the reading there. And if you're there, you're already knowing that I'm talking about Moses. And as we talk about Moses tonight, it seems like I can't get past Moses sometime. I use Moses a lot in my illustrations, and I'm thinking about him again tonight, how that God just used Moses in a great way. But Moses never dropped the ball. But I'm not so much looking at Moses tonight as I am Moses' parents. Moses' parents didn't drop the ball as well. There was a decree made from King Pharaoh, and he wasn't just the Pharaoh, but his name was Pharaoh, but he was the king of the land. And the Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter number 1 that there arose up a king in the land that knew not Joseph. And when that happened, Joseph was a picture or a type of Christ. And when you don't know Joseph, or you don't know him for what he was, which was a picture of the prosperity of God in the land of Egypt, where God had sent him aforetime down there to sustain the people and to prosper the people in a time of severe drought and severe destitute, the children of Israel ended up there under the hand of God, and by the providence of God, God had already set up a man by the name of Joseph to go down there. But while they're down there, time was spent in the land of Egypt, and then they become the taskmasters' playpens, and they just started being made fun of, and they were ridiculed, and they were beaten, and they were under the taskmaster's rule, so much that their cry came up before God, and God said, I've heard you cry, therefore I'm going to get you out of the land where you've been driven. I'm going to bring you back up out of the land of Egypt, back up into the land that I promised you, the land of Canaan, or Beulah land, wherever you want to call it, and I'm going to make you a great people. I'm going to bring you back up out of that, and to do that, he's going to use this man by the name of Moses to do that. But Moses just can't walk up to a king and say, God sent me down here. Now, how's he going to end up in the king's palace? How's the providence of God going to get him to that place? Even as Joseph had to go through being sold off to the Midianite merchant men and go through the house of Potiphar, go through the prison, meeting the butler and the baker, meeting and being able to interpret dreams, doing all that he did, God was working it out. It seemed like it wasn't a good thing that he would end up in prison or end up in a pit, but God worked it out that he made it all the way to be second in command of the land. So how in the world now is a man by the name of Moses, being a Jew, how's he going to end up down in a wicked king's house to deliver the people? God's hand had to be in that. And Moses didn't drop the ball. But before he ever got there, his parents showed faith. Moses' parents was Jochebed, and I believe his name was Ammon. What was his name? Wait a minute. Let me find. I wrote it down. Amram was his father's name, and Jochebed was his mother's name. But you won't find that here where we're at, but we'll get back there in the book of Exodus in just a minute and read some of that. But in verse number 24, the 11th chapter, book of Hebrews, it said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. We'll stop there because the next verse then goes into the fate of Joshua and then on down to Rahab and so on. Brother Chris, take us to the throne of grace in prayer, and then we'll bring this little message. You're being seated. By all accounts, there's even, I think, a movie made out called Moses, Prince of Egypt. Moses had the opportunity to be part of royalty. I mean, if he wants to eat of the king's meat, he's in the king's house. He has access to the king's meat. If he needs anything under the king's charge, it's at his disposal. Why? Because he is being raised in the palace, in the house of the king, being raised by the daughter of the king. Pharaoh's daughter is the one that plucked him out, if you will, of the Nile River. And as you were looking at this whole story, you would think, well, this young man had it all going on for him. He did, Brother Archie. He had everything that a prince would have. Being there in the palace, if he wanted to ride on the chariot with the king, he could ride in the chariot. If he wanted to eat the good, the fine foods, while they were out there making mud bricks and straw and working, Moses could have been sitting high in the palace looking down on them, ordering their death or ordering the work to be done. But rather, the Bible says in that 24th verse, 25th verse, that choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You say, what's it all about? Moses' life was one, it was a double-edged sword. It was a two-edged thing. Why? Because he was of the house of God. He was a part of God's lineage and God's heritage, but yet he was being raised in the ungodly place. And as many people tonight might think, well, my upbringing's where I'm at today. Let me tell you, forget all about your upbringing or what you might have been going through. Don't charge somebody else for what you're doing today. It's about time we all take accountability for our own action. Moses said, hey, I'm going to go with God. I'd rather suffer the affliction with God's people than sin up here and undergo all the finery of the things that they've got going on. So I'm going back to the book of Exodus now and just turn to Exodus chapter number 1 for just a few minutes. But Moses didn't drop the ball, and by all accounts, he was a part of the royalty. But as I said, he refused the king's table. He refused the king's chariot, he refused the king's meat. He refused all the fine things that he might grow up in grace and knowledge of the Lord. But I want you to look tonight, as I said, about basically the parents of Moses tonight. And I have to get down into here, and part of it that I've already quoted in chapter number 1 of the book of Exodus, and verse number 8 said, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, and let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that there, when there falleth out any war, they join us also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. And then it goes on down. I want to pick up the reading in verse number 15. It said in verse number 14, it said it made their lives bitter with hard bondage. But anyway, I want you to see it's no pleasurable thing that Moses would give up the pleasures of the king's palace to go back in to this that the people were having to undergo. Verse number 15 said, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, which the name of one was Sephra, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and you see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called the midwives, and said unto them, why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and they are delivered ere the midwives come unto them. In other words, they're making babies in their quick delivery. We can't keep up. But anyway, it goes on to say, therefore God dealt with them, with the midwife, and with the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And here's where the story of Moses comes in. This is the first introduction of the man. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. That's speaking of Jochebed, which would be Amram's wife. And when she could not, when she could no longer hide him, she took him in an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child there. In, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And the maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." And then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. Now, is that not the providence of God Almighty that she would hide him in the bulrushes? And then whenever the Pharaoh's daughter would go down and see that little child, and she not having any milk to supply to the baby herself because she's not gone through childbirth, she's not got anything to offer as far as the milk is concerned. But go get one of the Hebrew women. And who should they go get? They go get Moses' mother. They go get Jochebed. And then it goes on down to say, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.'" In other words, Brother Larry, we're going to have the baby's mama raise the baby, and we're going to pay you to do that. You tell me that ain't God Almighty. That is God Almighty. But anyway, what I want to talk about just for a few minutes is this. Moses' parents by faith took that baby boy and put him in that little ark and put him in the river. Brother, I'm telling you what, it'd be hard as a daddy to sit back saying, "Cindy, you go ahead and take that youngin' and put it in that little basket and put it down in the water. We're just going to trust God on this." But brother, you talk about the faith of God. They did just that. And they didn't drop the ball on it either. They did just that. Put him right in the right spot. And by the promise of God, whenever Pharaoh's daughter comes down there, and there's the baby. Maybe she's going down, the Bible says, to bathe. She's going down there, and there's this little basket over here in the bulrush. And she said, "What is that? That looks like one of them, almost look like a picnic basket." And go over and pluck that thing out, open the lid on that, and there's little Moses. He said, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do?" She said, "He's such a cute little feller. That looks like one of them little hall babies. His babies are beautiful." And then all of a sudden, brother said, "Go get one of them Hebrew women." So who are they going to go get? And said, "Go get her. She looks like she might be one that could help." And got the baby's own mama. Got Moses' own mama.
Amen. That's God.
That is God. Amen. Said, "Will you raise this baby?" She's thinking, "If you really want me to, it's a sacrifice. If you really, really want me to raise this baby," inside she had to be saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my child back." Brother Larry, we don't know the time. It had to be just moments or hours, no more than probably a 24-hour period, because when she put the baby in there, it was almost instantaneous because the baby couldn't live long, but she plucked him back out of the water and said, "I need somebody to raise this youngin'. Jochebed, come here. Will you raise this baby? If you do, I'll tell you what, I'll pay you." She was the king's daughter. She had access to everything that the king had. If he needed good cream off the top of the milk, then guess what? He got the good cream. If he was suckling the mother's breast, guess what? He was his own mother's breast. And he was taking care. God was taking care of every bit of it. And that's the promise of God. And it was because God was faithful to his people. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Let God be God and you be what God's charmed you to be tonight. And I'm going to say this. His parents had faith and did not drop the ball. And said, "You're going to have faith when it comes to raising him blended baby. You are a blended biracial family now, like it or not. Ain't gonna some people that gonna look at you and think, how in the world did Kelsey get this little black baby? You let them talk to God about that. You raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and you let them wonder, but you don't drop the ball in raising them babies. We've got a family right here that's blended, and we ought to pray for them because they're gonna face some adversities in this life. I promise you, have you not already got the looks? Miss Kelsey, honey, have you not already got the looks? If you're walking through Walmart and you got Nico on one side and you got Nevaeh on the other, there ain't no doubt in my mind somebody's looking at you.
I've been stopped twice.
I'm telling you, my friends, don't drop the ball though. Don't drop the ball. Parents, listen to me. You can't drop the ball when it comes to your children, because Cindy and myself, we watched that young lady when it come time to go to the homecoming court, and we watched the kids, and it come time, everybody's dating, everybody's courting, everybody doing everything. It come down to us, say, you're not going on a car date. We would tell Mara, Preston can come over here, or you can go with Preston's parents, but y'all ain't to be off gallivanting around here. It's hard to be a parent in 2019 or 2020 and not drop the ball because everybody thinks you're weird. But many times we'd have to say, Macy, you ain't wearing that. Parents, if you drop the ball, your children will leave the house because the clothing manufacturers are making them to where your children are going to appeal to that item because they look like everybody in Hollywood looks a certain stick figure size, about a size 00, and anybody that's not that size is a weirdo. But say, don't drop the ball. You let your kids be your kids, but you help guide them. Ryan, did you ever let Carrie go out looking like she was going to a harlot show? How many times you have to say, that's too low? That's too high. Can't wear that. What's the general consensus of that? You get the eye roll. You do. How many times do we have to do that? We'd have to say, you can't wear that. Did you ever just say, 7 years come back when y'all get ready? 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, I don't care. I'll be up. No, you set boundaries, parental guidelines. Moses' parents cared about Moses. That's why they trusted God when God said, put him right here in the water. Didn't say take him down yonder, put him right here. I believe they prayed about it. And I believe that whenever Jochebed put him in there, said, honey, I don't know how God's going to do this, but I'm going to trust God right now. I put you in this basket. I've wrapped you as warm as I can wrap you. And I pitched this thing within and without with some slime. I've dabbed it with mortar. I put it right here in this place, trusting God that God's going to do what God does. And God did not fail them. God didn't fail you, Ryan. Both of your daughters married to men of faith. What? Tell me God's not good. Parents, we got to trust God. Moses' parents trusted God in these things. And I'm telling you, don't drop the ball, parents, because your children will push you to the limits. They will. And I'm not beating up on Noah and Hope. And I'm not beating up on your kids. But Noah, once in a while, you need to read a book. You need to read the book. You need to read the Bible. You need to get out of your video game. We need to get out of the Facebook once in a while and get our face in the book. We need to get past some of the things that challenge us as young people and let God be God in our lives, because there's coming a time that these kids are going to push the limits and push the boundaries, and you're not going to be in the way anymore because they're out of your roof now. A lot of times kids go off to college and, boy, that's the end of it. Get wilder than a buck. They find the most rambunctious and rowdy college they can go to. They all want to go to East Carolina. That's a party school. They want to go to West Carolina. It's a party school. They want to go here. I don't know which one's a party school and which one ain't. But they want to go to these bastions of liberalism. They want to go to the places where the parties are at. Why? Because mom and daddy ain't there to tell them to come in at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, rock, whatever time you want to tell them to come in. But parents, we can't drop the ball. I mentioned this in the prayer room. It's okay that you're friends with Jordan. You ought to be friends with Jordan. You ought to be friends with Jenny. You ought to be friends with Jackie. You ought to be friends with your parents. But there comes a time whenever the BFF is no longer the BFF. You're the mom. You're the dad. This is going to hurt you. Going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. I'm going to put you in this river, Moses. I know you don't understand that because you're just a few days old, but I'm going to put you right there. I'm going to trust God. God's going to do something with your life. And the Bible said he grew up and grew up in that house. And as he come to years, he chose rather to suffer the affliction with God's people than he did dying at the king's table. He didn't get away from what they prayed over that child when they put him in those bulrushes in that ark. There's going to come a time when your kids are going to challenge you. But I've seen parents that when their kid wants to go to a nightclub, guess what? Mama dresses just as trashy as the kid does. And they both go to the nightclub. You know what that mom did? She dropped the ball. You know what that dad did? He dropped the ball. I've seen it go on and on and on and on. And it makes me wonder, where's the faith? Whenever it comes time to raise children, I'm telling you what, parenting is not for the faint of heart. Save us just not. How many times have you been disappointed? How many times have we as parents been disappointed only to have to look up and say, thank you, God, for stepping in whenever I couldn't. Thank you, God, for doing what I couldn't do. Or whenever we dropped the ball, we said, all right, I don't feel good about it. I don't like it. I just don't trust it. I don't like it. I don't like him. But I'm going to let you do this. How many times do you ever do that? How many times has a parent ever knew better and said, I just don't like it at all? Then you become the bad guy. You say, I just don't like that situation that you're putting yourself in. But yet you give in, you relent, you drop the ball. And then the outcome's not what you hoped that it would be. Look here just a minute. Go over to chapter number 8. I'm trying to hurry, and I'll be done here in just a few minutes. Chapter number 8. In this picture that I'm preaching tonight, Pharaoh, the king, is a picture of Satan. He's a picture of a deceiver. He's a picture of a Lucifer. He's a picture of your adversary. He's a picture of everything that is against God. Are you hearing me tonight? He's a picture of everything anti-Christ. He's a picture of everything that is against morality, judgment, uprightness, and holiness. Chapter number 8 of the book of Exodus. If you'll look, the plagues are being poured out. Now you're already here into the second of the plagues. The first was the blood. The second is, there was a plague of blood in chapter number 7, verses number 14 down through number 25. Then we pick up and then we get to the third plague of lice, and we're over here to the fourth plague of flies. In other words, Moses has ascended to the place that God was going to get, use him to get those people out of there. And just as I preached a little while back about Sodom's got nothing for you, remember that? We saw the king of Salem, Melchizedek, and we saw the king of Sodom, both offering, both bidding for the souls of man. What did the king of Sodom say? He said, you take the people, you take the stuff, just give me the people. That's what he said. He said, you take the stuff, but give me the people. This is kind of the same thing going on here, because the wickedness of Pharaoh, look what he says in chapter number 8, verse number 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye and sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians and the Lord our God. And lo, we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes. Will they not stone us? We will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord your God, our God. And he shall command us as he shall command us. You say, what are you talking about there, preacher? I'm talking about this. Look in verse number 25. Pharaoh, which is that one that I told you about, this anti-God, anti-Christ, against anything upright and holy. He tells Moses and Aaron, he says, go and sacrifice to your God. Where at? In the land. He's not saying not to worship. He's not saying not to do right. He's not saying not to be holy unto your God. He said, just do it here. And that's the problem. Nobody wants to sacrifice. But God told him to get out of there because I prepared for you a land. And that's what this whole passage is about. The plagues are coming. Moses is getting the people out of there. But Satan don't want to let you go. Satan don't want you to leave. Pharaoh doesn't want Moses to leave. He said, go ahead and worship you, God. Just do it here. My friends, that's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. You can't worship God and stay where you're at. You're going to have to separate from the world. You're going to have to separate from the worldliness of Egypt. You're going to have to get out there and follow God, because you say that you can do it right where you're sitting and I can do it the way I want. It can't be done. I'll just let my children do what they want to. They'll be all right when they grow up. No, you better get them separated from the junk of this world, because Satan hates them. Look what he said. Pharaoh said, go on and worship, sacrifice to you, God. But just do it here. Moses said, we're not doing it here. Look at the next verse. It's not meet for us to do that. He said, if we do that down here, it'll be an abomination. The Egyptians would stone us. He said, but we're going to trust God. Look what he said. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. In other words, I'm just going to trust God. If we return over a couple of places, chapter number 13, verse number 17, it tells us a parallel scripture, a scripture coming a little bit later than that, to tell this. And it came to pass that when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistine, although that way was near. It's not always the near way. It's not always the easy way. But I'm telling you, my friends, it'll be the good way. It'll be the righteous way. It'll be the holy way. It'll be the just way, that at the end of the day, if it's what God told you to do, it's going to be honorable. Man, we're quiet tonight. I just don't want you to drop the ball. In the new year, let's not drop the ball. Let's have faith as we march forward. Did 2019 have a set of struggles? You better believe it had a set of struggles. Did it have its own set of grief and heartbreak? Sure it did. Will we not suffer some of that same stuff in 2020? Sure we will. But if we march through it with faith, every baby we put in a bulrush basket and put in the river, God's going to take care of it. You say, what kind of a baby are we putting there? Put your finances in the basket. Put your job in the basket. Put your children in the basket. Put whatever it is that you're entrusted unto God. Put it in a basket of faith and trust that God will take care of it. Moses is not a one-year-old leading children out. Moses is not a five-year-old leading children out of bondage. Moses is not 16 leading children out of bondage. Moses is a full-grown man. It come a long time to fruition, but the parents' faith prevailed. Amen. Going back to Hebrews chapter number 11 just for a second. Hebrews chapter number 11 said, by faith, when what? When he was come to years. Tammy, you don't see Danny right now, but keep praying. Put him in the basket. You see, you shouldn't be using people's names. I call them out in prayer to God. Why wouldn't I call them out in here? But can I pray for your family member? I'm putting them in a basket of faith and trusting that God, when the time has fully come, and when the scripture said that Moses had come to years, that the faith that his mom and dad, Amram and Jochebed had, that faith come to life in the latter years of Moses' life. And he didn't drop the ball either. They didn't drop the ball in putting him in the basket. And he's not dropped the ball. The Bible said in Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do y'all just read that like I did? I just read that and keep trucking. Ryan, we grew up poor, did we? I mean, we didn't know we were poor, but can you imagine all of a sudden having all the Mountain Dew you can drink? Having all the Kentucky Fried Chicken you can eat? Having all the finery, all the stuff as a kid growing up, but saying, I don't want all that. I'm just going to go over here and live like a pauper. I'm going to give up all the gold. I'm going to give up all the money. When all your friends are getting the fancy car and you're driving a Pinto. That's not very cool. Right, Ryan? Didn't we drive? You drove that Pinto, didn't you? When all your kids got new and you don't have new, great, that's not cool. Moses said, I don't want what the king's got. Ain't that what that scripture says, preacher? Sure. Bible said choosing. That was a decision to make. The Bible said choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God's people than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Here's what he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. It wasn't that he didn't see them as riches in Egypt. He saw them as riches. He saw them as wonders. He saw them as splendors. He saw the gold. He saw the fanciness and the finery of the king's palace. But here's what it said, esteeming the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures that the king had in Egypt. Do we esteem him that way? I don't think we do. It's too many times we've got a bookend. That's where we got saved, Brother Larry. We got a bookend over here that one day he's going to take us out of here. So we're secure within those bookends of grace. We're saved by grace through faith. And we just sit there neatly on that shelf. What happens whenever Pharaoh says, hey, we're going to kill you? All the babies going to die. Put them in a basket or throw them in a river and kill them. But then God providentially plucks one of them out once in a while. Brother Larry, you ain't going to get them all out of prison. But once in a while, you're going to stumble through a prison door somewhere. And when you're going to go in there, you're going to preach Jesus. You know what, in essence, that is. That mama said, I've done all I can do. The law's going to have to get him because I can't touch him. And then the law gets him. Some judge says, I'm going to send you to 3 years down here. He's down there learning his lesson, right? He's going to pay society to society that she's wronged. And here comes some old Rock of Ages prison minister come here telling about Jesus. You know what happened when that was his basket? He was in a basket. His basket was called Polk. His basket was called Trenton, wherever you go. You just come by and plucked him right out of the middle of the river. Parents, I'm afraid that we're dropping the ball. The first thing I wanted to tell you tonight was we've got to be separated from the world. Exodus chapter number 8 said, you can't worship down here, Moses. And Moses said, God, I know that. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. You need to separate yourself for proper worship, and you need to separate yourself under prayer. Brother Larry, come up here. I'm done. Brother Larry got a ministry update. He got something on his heart. Listen, preach. Come on, brother. Come on. Brother Larry, he says it. Mute me just a minute.
All right. He had told me to be ready tonight to a tag team maybe or bootleg in. And I had some scripture on my heart whenever you asked me that, but I feel led just by the Lord just to share a couple of testimonies and kind of reaffirm what the preacher said tonight. And I hear the message he's preached as a child of God. I see it through the eyes of a child of God, but I also see it through the eyes of a missionary. I see it through the eyes of one that have been put in the basket to go and see what the Lord would have us to do and how God is able to take care. And when I thought of that, I'm sitting there thinking that as preachers preaching that, and my mind goes through the missionaries that we've seen come in and through the ministry and different things. And sometimes we would hear comments in churches and different places and about people not wanting their children to follow God. And can I tell you, as a parent, if you're a parent today, you're a blessed person. The Lord never gave us any children of our own, but He's given us 5 million in America that's in trouble, kids. And I'm reaching the kids. We're trying to reach the kids inside the prison where mom and daddy has dropped the ball. And it's not always that they got bad parents. It's not always that they got bad home lives. But a large majority of the ones that we reach inside that prison don't have a mom and daddy in the home. They don't have the presence of a parent. They don't have the correction. If you got children and the Lord's put them in your life, you be in their life. Take care of them. Know what they're doing. Don't have any secret doors in your house that you're not allowed to go in. Take the responsibility that God's give you as a parent. Yeah, a preacher said it best, you know, they don't need just a friend. They need a parent. They need a mom and a daddy. There'll be times when they may need you to be a friend to them, but the basic principle of it is being that mom and being that daddy. And I see kids that don't have that. And I say that to the young people that may be in here. Young people, how many young people got in here? Let me just do this right here. If you're 18 or under, would you stand up? 18 or under. I'm just minding the Lord, Preacher Mark. I had some scripture But I'm giving you what God's... Young people, can I talk to you just for a minute? Look up here at me. If you got a mom and daddy in your life that puts rules in your life, you got a mom and daddy that gives you a curfew, mom and daddy that tells you you can't run around with this person, you can't run around with that. At your age that you're at right now, you might not understand that, you may not appreciate that, you may feel like, you know, they just don't want me to have no fun or whatever. Can I tell you, you have no idea what a treasure that you have. When we go inside a juvenile place in Rome, Georgia, just recently, and a girl was in there telling us to pray for her and pray for her mom, and she said, we're both locked up because we have to go out and steal to have the money for even to have the food and have the things that we want. If you got a mom and dad that makes you have rules in your life and that gets up in the morning, goes to work and works that you can have food and stuff, you don't have to go out and steal to have food. Can I tell you, you got a treasure. One little girl talked about, preacher, I hope y'all go to the boys tomorrow that you can reach my brother. Me and my brother are locked up in the same institution, and it's because they have no supervision in the home. Can I tell you, young people, you got a mom and daddy that loves you and loves the Lord and puts rules in your life. You ought to thank God for them. Can I just challenge you right now, young people looking at me? Hey, I love you. Preacher Larry loves you. Preacher Larry cares for you. That mom and daddy loves you too. I want to challenge you young people right now. Won't you just turn around there? Grab mama and hug her. Grab daddy's neck and hug him to say, thank you for teaching me right. Will you do that? Say, preacher, that might not be cool. It might not be cool. But I tell you, if you've seen some of the ones that I've seen, how about just hug at mama's neck and hug at daddy's neck? Preacher, all right, just mind the Lord. While they're hugging your neck, mom and daddy, maybe you just want to bring them down to this altar and pray for them. Maybe we just need to have a family altar tonight. Mamas and daddies get their children. Hey, there's a very real devil out there. Your children are precious. I love them. You love them. The devil don't love them. He hates them. How about it, mamas and daddies? How about we get those youngins, just bring them down here and pray for them? Macy, if you want to come on to the piano and start playing. It might be good to put these youngins up here on this altar and just pray for them tonight. Thank God for them. We're asking for the young ones, but hey, some of you got your youngins here, and they're not young anymore. They're getting older and growing up. Maybe you just want to come pray with them too. Maybe your grandchildren here today. You want to pray for them. Or maybe your children's not here. You just want to come and ask the Lord to touch them. Voice looks good tonight. Pray God's hand of protection on these children. Devil's out to get them. He'll tear them up. Maybe some here that don't have a mom and daddy here with them tonight. Maybe you'll just go get them by the hand and say, hey, can I pray for you? Be that substitute in their life. Encourage them. God help his children. This looks good tonight. Anybody else want to come and pray?